Moncrief on News Talk.
Jonathan DeBurka-Butler joins us once again to bring us stories from other parts of the world. Afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you getting on?
We're going to go to Norway first. And this is a story, I think, which will echo with a lot of people here and around Europe. They're going to raise the minimum age to be on social media to 15.
Yeah, they are. This is in Norway, as you said. They're going to raise the age limit on social media to 15. It's currently at 13, would you believe? But it doesn't appear to be working. If you take a report that was issued recently by the Norwegian Media Authority, which told us that over half of 9-year-olds, 58% of 10-year-olds and 72% of 11-year-olds are on social media. Mm. So the age restriction at 13, which is what it's at the moment, is clearly not working for whatever reason. So why are they doing this? Are they doing it to take the opportunity to raise the age limit, but not only raise the age limit, also create awareness around social media and also maybe change a few things around how the age limit is policed, right?
Mm, so yeah, there's enforcement.
Yeah, enforcement is the problem. Now, there's two strands to it. So the Minister for Children basically said in a statement that she wanted to give parents the security to say no, which is a big thing, right? You know, I
sure,
certainly know
in
my own case, because I'm being harassed for Snapchat at the moment, Fiona, if you're listening. If I knew that there was a law that said you can't have it until 13, 14, 15, I'd be able to refer to that and say, don't blame me, blame the government.
Yeah.
And that would make it easier. So it will create awareness and it will allow parents, it will give them that safety blanket
it gets
or that
rid
excuse.
Of the all my friends have
yeah, exactly
argument.
Thing. Yes, yeah, exactly. Okay. So you can have that. But they're also looking at introducing more safeguards. So they're looking at amending the Personal Data Act so that social media users must be 15 to agree that the platform can handle their personal data. They're looking at developing an age verification barrier for social media. But all of these things have been done in other jurisdictions. I think we might have spoken, was it last year or the year before, by two states in the United States where they introduced this. Can't remember which ones exactly. But anyway, since it's been brought in, there's been various ways that people have got around it using VPNs and all sorts of other things. Australia is also looking at bringing in a ban somewhere between the age of 14 and 16, but they haven't got how they're going to implement that ban perfect yet. So they're waiting. So it's how do you police it? How do you enforce it is going to be the big problem.
Yeah, and France is looking at a school ban.
Yeah, France is looking at a school ban on mobile phones for pupils up to the age of 15, which a lot of schools are doing here. You know, again, referring to my eldest fella, he goes in, he has to put it in a pouch every day, which we pay for, not state. It's not state.
It's private sector pouches.
Private sector pouches.
Yeah.
So, but it works. It does work.
Yeah.
He can't go near the thing for the whole day and it keeps him away from it.
I just don't understand why they can't just ban them.
Exactly.
The
without
government
the page.
Just can't ban them.
Yeah, indeed.
Right. India, and we're going to go to next. And a tragic story of a man being trampled to death by an elephant, though perhaps some people mightn't have that much sympathy for them.
Well, yeah, this is a case of a 23-year-old man. He was working with some colleagues. I think he was laying cables in a forest in Maharashtra. Now, Maharashtra is a very large state. I think it's the second largest state in India. It's on the west coast. Mumbai would be the capital city there. Now, although it's very heavily populated, there are vast swathes of forest in this part of the world as well. And so that's where he was last Thursday. As I said, he was laying cables with two colleagues. Now, they had been warned that there was an aggressive elephant roaming the area and if they saw him, to stay away from him. So not only did they not stay away from him, they went to try and find him. They said, oh, let's have a look at this guy. Mm. They found the elephant. This particular individual, he's 23 years of age, decided to take a selfie with the elephant. Now, he didn't go right up beside the elephant and take the selfie and try and get the elephant to smile, but he was a good distance away from him. But he had his back to him. Elephants are a lot faster than people think. He was trampled to death. It happens quite a lot in India. Between 2020 and 2024, over 1,700 people have been killed by elephants. This particular elephant is thought to have killed 7 people since November of this year.
Word.
So that raises the questions, why hasn't he been shot yet or why hasn't he been dealt with? Which brought me to looking into other articles. Now, there was a law that was passed back in 2014, which was obviously there to protect elephants, right? Bans poaching and capturing and that kind of thing. And it allows people to kill an elephant in self-defense. So had this guy got a gun, he would have been grand to kill the elephant, presumably. But I don't know how immediate, for want of a better way of saying it, that self-defense has to be.
It has to be charging.
Yeah. So is it the case now that rangers, park rangers, given that he's killed 8 people now, are allowed to go out and find this elephant, if they can find it, and kill it, due to the fact that it's killed all these people? I can't answer that question.
Yeah, but one would be interested to know, though, if there's not taking the blame, in inverted commas, off the elephant, but if the elephant feels that humans keep encroaching onto its territory, it's going to react that way. So just stay away from its territory.
Sean, I'll give you a very quick statistic. There was another story I was looking at to see, was there a precedent for shooting elephants that killed people? That was back in 2017, that story was from. And the numbers of people who died in the 4 years up to that article was 1,000. Now you're talking about 1,700. So it's like when we talk about similar stories in Africa, it's because people, humans, are encroaching on elephant territory. The two of them are coming together. The elephant is going to be angry. Yeah. So this is inevitable because populations are growing.
Yeah. Right, Uganda, we're going to go to next. This is... I don't know if people remember the Lord's Resistance Army, but the stuff of nightmares in terms of what they did, child soldiers, all that kind of stuff.
Crazy people. Yeah. A group that was started by a very famous, infamous character called Joseph Kony. He started in 1987. And his basic idea was that he wanted to rule Uganda based on the Ten Commandments of the Bible. So they were the Christian version of Islamic State.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And Joseph Kony was particularly evil. They reckon that about 66,000 children were taken, captured after their parents had been killed, were turned into soldiers or were turned into sex slaves. Now, Kony himself, just very briefly, has still not been captured. Yeah. They reckon he's holed up in Darfur. At least that was the last time that they spoke. He was cited. It was in Darfur in South Sudan in 2022. So God knows what he's up to there, given what's going on. This particular individual that we're talking about is a guy called Thomas Kwayeo. Okay, Thomas Kwayeo is now 50 years of age, and he was captured at the age of 12 by Joseph Kony. And after his parents had been killed, was turned into a child soldier, but got up the ladder in the Lord's Resistance Army and became a commander. And he was captured himself a good few years ago. I think it was back in 2019. So it's taken 15 years for him to go on trial and to be sentenced. And now he's been sentenced to 40 years in prison. What's significant about this is it's the first time that a prosecution has been brought in Uganda itself.
Really?
Okay, yeah. So I don't know if you remember, but there was a guy that we actually spoke about back in 2021. His name rang a bell with me, Dominic Ongwen. And he was sentenced to 25 years in prison by the International Criminal Court. Now, one thing that stood out to me about his particular case was, again, he was taken when he was about 8 years of age. And he detailed in the trial the kind of things that he had to go through as a child soldier.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult not to feel sorry for these people, even
though they
committed
out horrific
horrific crimes. It's very difficult not to feel sorry for them, given the circumstances that they were brought into this particular way of life.
Yeah. And and in this trial in Uganda, was that taken in as mitigation to any degree?
It was actually, it's a great question, but it was, because, I mean, he could have been sentenced to death or given a life sentence. Now, he's been given 40 years, which is pretty close to a life sentence, but he's done 15 on remand already. So he'll do another 25 years. So if he's lucky,
he might get a few years before,
but he'll be in his 70s before he gets out. And that's a horrible life.
Yeah. We're going to go to Ecuador now, where the forests are writing songs.
Yes.
It's extraordinary.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
I'll go back to the beginning. Four people. One of them was a musician by the name of Cosmo Sheldrake, and three others, one a scientist, and then there was two other environmentalists. They went into the jungle in Ecuador, right? It's called Los Cedros Cloud Forest, right? So Los Cedros is the cedars, so it must be full of cedars. And they went in and they were actually looking for mushrooms, which is probably not hard to believe when you listen to the music.
Okay.
But one of them studies mushrooms. Anyway, they were in camp one night, and this musician, Cosmo Sheldrake, he started banging out a tune, And there was another guy there who was able to record sounds on his phone, and he's kind of a specialist in that. Mm. Anyway, between the four of them, they've come up with this song, right? It's called The Song of the Cedars. Okay, it's actually quite a beautiful piece. And they have now brought a petition to Ecuador's copyright office to recognise the forest as the co-creator of the composition. And I think it's extraordinary. What's the premise? The premise is there was a decision that was taken by Ecuador's constitutional court back in 2021 to give the forest legal personhood. The reason it did that was because miners wanted to get into the forest.
Yeah.
And the only way it could be protected was by giving it legal personhood.
Mm.
So these guys have now taken it a step further. They're saying, we didn't write the thing within the forest. It was written with the forest.
Yes.
So they want the forest to now be recognised as the co-creator of the song.
Okay. Does that mean the forest owns, actually, you know, if there were royalties off the back of this song, or if it was used in a jam advert or something, that the forest would get half the money?
It would be given moral authorship. So it doesn't mean that in this case it would be granted economic rights. Now, in this case, what these guys are actually doing is anything that's downloaded or anything for Spotify money they get is going into a fund to protect the forest. But that's their decision, right? Mm. So to answer your question, we don't know what's going to happen in terms of, you know, whether in the future it means if I'm making a song and I record the dog next door, is that dog a co-creator in the song and then I'd have to pay his owner money perhaps? This is the kind of thing that they're kind of talking about. So it's a bit of a crazy story. And there is no final answer to your question, really. We have to see, because it's never been tested before.
And the stage you're at now, is this a court request to put in?
So it's a petition that's been put in by a group called More Than Human Life, the More Than Human Life Project. And so what they're doing is they're going to Ecuador's copyright office and they're saying, can you recognise the forest as a co-creator?
Mm.
Now, they think they will, based on that decision from the Constitutional Court in Ecuador, but it could be the case that the Copyright Office turns around to them and says, no, don't be mad. In which case, they'll take it to the courts until they see it through.
Okay, people can look forward to a lot of punning headlines, I'm sure, in the future. Australia, we're going to go to next. Horrific story, though this person received $1 million in compensation for it. So what happened to this student?
Yeah, it's a young guy. They haven't given his name in this particular case. He went to a school called Fairville High School in Western Sydney. And when he was 14 years of age, he was attacked. Okay, so this was back in 2017. He had been diagnosed with autism back in 2012. I think he had been bullied quite a bit throughout his school life. Excuse me. And on this particular occasion, he was on his way. He was leaving school one day and he was told by a friend, well, not a friend really, that a person who's referred to in this case as XY wanted to speak to him. Now, XY had just come back from being suspended and had a history of trouble. I don't know if he was connected to this guy necessarily, but he did have a history of trouble. He immediately knew what was going on and went back into the school to try and take refuge in the office, but there was nobody there. He somehow got in touch with his mum. The mother tried to phone the school to alert them that he was in danger. There was no reply. He went back out to get the school bus. He was blocked by these 12 classmates of his, taken to a nearby park, and absolutely got the crap kicked out of him, right? He was spear tackled, which is, you know, in rugby where they pick you up and slam you into the ground. He was kicked, he was beaten, all sorts of different things. He damaged to his eye, his ear, and all the psychological damage that went with it, right? So his mother took a case against the high school, in this case the state of New South Wales, looking for compensation because she said they failed in their duty of care to their son.
Mm.
Now, the first question that came to my mind was the bus in the school or outside the school?
Yeah.
That was actually their argument. That was the state's argument. They said, well, look, it was outside the hours of school operation, and it was also outside the school grounds that this happened. But the judge didn't agree and basically said that there had been multiple breaches in this duty of care, not keeping students safe from bullying, not keeping the school office open after hours for students, and not protecting vulnerable students with physical or psychological issues. So the judge in this case said, we're not listening to your argument about, you know, about the fact that it was outside the school or inside the school. You had a duty of care here, even in the build up to this. So we're offering a compensation of $1.2 million. Yeah. He's 21 now, this kid. So
Does an apology come with this?
I don't think so, actually. It's a good question, but I don't think it did, which would lead you to conclude that they will probably appeal.
Yeah. What should we look out for the next week or so?
Yeah, lots of things coming up in the coming week. October 30th, which is Wednesday, I think, it's the budget in the UK, which is going to be interesting for Labour. I don't know if you saw opinion polls, but Keir Starmer's popularity is minus 300 and something. I don't know what it is.
MPs just keep distracting from everything, don't they?
So anyway, that'll be the UK budget on October the 30th. And then the new Tory leader is going to be announced after that. So get the champagne out for that. Diwali, the Hindu Festival of Light, that starts on November the 1st. And then on November the 3rd, there is a presidential election runoff in Moldova. Don't know if there'll be any Russian interference there, but we'll see.
Perish the thought. Jonathan, thanks a million.
Sean.
As ever, Jonathan DeBarker Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.